Let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, we continue our annual remembrance of your passion and death. Grant that we would not be scandalized by the outward appearance of things, but lead us to see and consider the truth which you have revealed in your word, so that we may be partakers of the blessing that you have poured out for us in the mercy and grace of our sins forgiven. Grant us to know that you have willingly undertaken this great sacrifice, that we may be made righteous, freed from our captivity to sin through the fear of death. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. The true weight of the words of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 53 is the Holy Spirit describes what happens to Jesus at the time of his death only come into full focus when we hear the details of the evangelists and the apostles. Describing exactly how he was wounded and bruised, the lashes and the whips upon our Lord's back causing the stripes by which we are healed. Isaiah poetically summarizes all of these details, knowing that the gruesomeness of the facts would cause us to hide our faces, to turn away from looking at the suffering that our Lord Jesus underwent. The shock and the discomfort in seeing what happened, and even the trauma we experience as we relive those events by hearing the account brought to life in our mind, leaves little room for us often to consider the work that God was doing in and through those events and those bloody hours. Even today, it's difficult for us to hear this chapter from Isaiah the prophet and not find ourselves visualizing what we think it looked like. This is why the prophet kept these details hidden, so that we wouldn't be scandalized by the particulars. The Holy Spirit desired that the prophet would make clear the meaning and purpose of the events, providing only enough detail that we would know what he was talking about when it occurred. All that happened was necessary. It unfolded exactly as God had foretold, so that we would have assurance and confidence that our standing before God is secure, that our foothold is sure because of the blood that flowed from our Savior's veins. Our astonishment and our awe at the horror of that hour often blinds us to the actual work accomplished. The meaning and the purpose must be revealed to us by God himself, or else it would remain hidden from us, and we wouldn't receive its benefits. So today, we consider this report of the prophet so that we may understand that through all of these events, the righteous arm of the Lord is at work for us. Now, it's easy when we get to this point in the church year to be taken off guard, to be a little surprised when we come to the final week of Jesus' life. After all, at the beginning of this week, he had entered into the holy city in the midst of a great throng of people. It seemed like they loved him. It seemed like they believed in him. It's an easy mistake to make. When we hear about the great crowds that followed after Jesus when he began his ministry, it's easy to think that they came to faith and believed in him, but the scriptures reveal, in spite of their great numbers, this was a faithless generation. Sure, they willingly received the bread that our Lord handed out in the miraculous feedings, but they had no interest in the true and living bread that came from heaven and was sent into the world. They would receive the benefits to their body, they would sit in awe at his preaching, but none of it took root. They would reject the words of eternal life which he preached and proclaimed. They sought after his healings, the miracles that relieved their suffering and trial in their daily lives. But they had no interest in the coming kingdom which he proclaimed, the world that is yet to come. So as Jesus' works confirmed the coming of God's kingdom, long proclaimed by the prophets, nobody looked upon Jesus as the true King of Israel. Rather, they despised him and rejected him. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but wherever you went, the Son of Man had no place to rest his head. When it came to the final actions which accomplished the work of salvation for all mankind, all men hid their faces from him. Even his closest apostles denied they even knew him. All of this reveals the necessity of the work that Jesus did on the cross. They were just doing what comes natural, as those who were born separated from God. They bore only the sinful image inherited from their parents, just as we do. We can neither see nor know the spiritual truths for ourselves. The fleeing of the disciples, their denial of him, is simply an object lesson that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us seeks what we think is best for us in whatever situation we find ourselves, and we don't look at God's commands. We don't look to what he has told us. We don't seek his will and his way. We seek our own. And this puts us in conflict with God. It not only makes our life and our relationships harder here as we attempt to live in this world, among others who are also self-seeking and self-serving, but it also drives a wedge to separate us from God further and further. God is justly angered by our disobedience and our rebellion. As our guilt and our sin increases, so also the debt we owe to God for our wickedness and our rebellion against him. Certainly we deserve that God would cause grief and sorrow and trouble in our life. Surely we deserve that he would lash out at us, seeking vengeance against us for our wickedness, our disobedience, and our rebellion against him. But we would never survive his vengeance. We would never be able to endure his wrath and the pain and torture that we deserve. So Christ has borne our griefs as our Lord lays upon him our iniquity. Jesus, beaten and bleeding, is on the one hand a picture of the hatred that unredeemed mankind has for God. It shows the viciousness of man's sin, the contempt that man has toward God. On the other hand, it's also a picture that begins to reveal to us what our guilt and our wickedness, our rebellion deserves. If God struck our flesh and carried out the punishment we deserve, even for one of the sins we have committed against him, the effect on our bodies would be worse than all the pain and suffering endured by Jesus at the hands of the soldiers and the guards. But the lash of God's whip does not fall upon us, and the fists of the soldiers that struck Jesus, the thorns that pierced his brow, the whips that tore into his skin, caused him to be wounded for our transgressions, to be bruised for our iniquities. By those stripes, he was bringing healing to our souls, so that we would never have to endure the punishment from God that we have earned by our sin. Though he suffered unjustly, though he endured every form of humiliation, he did it without complaint. He opened not his mouth. As a lamb being led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he went willingly. This is why he was born into the world in the first place. He grew up a tender shoot, maturing and being taught by Joseph the carpenter. And when the fullness of time had come, he was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit descending on him to point him out as the one approved the anointed sacrifice. He entered into the prison of this world of sin in order to burst forth the gates and bring us out. He had no house or home in this life, no wife or children of his own. He enjoyed none of the things in which we take joy, find comfort and contentment in the world. From his earliest youth, even when he was found in his father's house at the tender age of 12, he recognized his true mission. He knew his father's business. He understood he would be cut off from the land of the living as he was stricken, smitten by God and afflicted for the transgressions, the rebellion, the rejection, the disobedience committed by the very creatures which he himself lovingly formed from the dust of the earth. And so he assents to be hung between the two thieves as if he himself was a transgressor. The perfect Son of God, the one who knew no sin, the spotless Lamb provided by God himself for the sacrifice, put to death at the hands of those he came to save. He had done no violence. His lips never spoke deceit. His heart never harbored an evil thought. His mouth never uttered an evil word. His hands never undertook an evil deed. And yet he was numbered with the transgressors, suffering as one who had done all of these things and more. And in the midst of it all, out of his great love for those whom he created, out of his devotion and dedication to those whom he had given life in this world, he prays even for those who nailed him to the tree, even those who beat him. He prays for all who caused his grief, his pain. He prays for you. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. He accepted it all. He took it all upon himself willingly. He volunteered to be put to death in order that you would not need to suffer the guilt for your sin, so that you could be made acceptable to the Father, so that you could inherit that which God intended for you from the foundation of the world. This is why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It's why God the Father sent his only begotten Son to endure such grief. Because God the Father, Son, and Spirit love their creation. They love their creatures. They love you. The Father does not desire the death of the sinner. He does not desire that you suffer what you deserve for your rebellion and disobedience. He desires that you would turn from your sin and live. So God made for you a way when there was no way. Your sin-filled heart provokes God's wrath and condemnation. But Jesus has died for you. Your unholiness would separate you from God, but the Son has shed his blood to make you righteous and holy once again. He has borne in himself your sins and your iniquity, so that by his blood you would be sprinkled clean and made acceptable. And even there upon the cross, as he endured all the shame, received all the grief, was punished in his flesh with the wrath of God poured out upon him, he had you in mind. He endured it all so that you would be made his brother, so that he may divide his inheritance with you, so that he could bring you to himself and give you eternal life. He has seized you back from the devil, freed you from your bondage to sin in order to make you new. He did it so that when he raises your body from the dead, you will inherit the new heavens and the new earth, free from sin, free from death, and you will dwell with him in his loving presence forevermore. This is the truth that the Christian holds on to with the eyes of faith. This is what the prophet Isaiah desires that we would keep in mind as we consider and recount and recall all the work of our Lord Jesus in his bitter sufferings and death. He is the servant of the Father, sent to be exalted and extolled and raised on high for you, sprinkling you with his blood, washing you and making you clean. He has turned God's wrath away and has drunk to the dregs the fury of our God. And now, because of this, you are at peace with God because of what Jesus has done for you. Therefore, do not grieve because of his suffering, and do not turn your head away from the cross or the body hanging upon it. Do not be offended by the sight of Jesus on the cross. Rather, fix your eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And it was the joy that was set before him that caused him to willingly endure the cross, despising its shame. He willingly endured because he loves you and desires to be rescued and saved. By his work, he has done it. By his stripes, you are healed. By his work, you stand before God, free of your guilt and righteous in his sight. Now Christ is risen, ascended on high, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, also for you, to bless you with his love, to be with you, and preserve you in the midst of this veil of sorrows, this world of trouble, that you would be carried through so that you would dwell with him forever. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.